gears changed shift. The drum beat again. Aaron had longed for the darkness, but he could not sleep. His bones ached, and he could not change position. He sat aching, shivering, parched, staring up at the stars, which jerked across the sky with every stroke the oarsmen took, slid to their places, and were still. Jerked again, slid, paused. The man with the collar and another man stood between the afterhold and the mast. The little swinging lantern on the mast sent gleams between them and silhouetted their heads and shoulders. "Fog, you pig's bladder," said the weak, hateful voice of the man with the collar. "What's a fog doing in the Southing Straits this time of year? Curse the luck!" The drum beat. The stars jerked, slid, paused. Beside Aaron, the tongueless man shuddered all at once and, raising his head, let out a nightmare scream, a terrible, formless noise. "Quiet there!" roared the second man by the mast. The mute shuddered again and was silent, munching with his jaws. Stealthily, the stars slid forward into nothingness. The mast wavered and vanished. A cold, gray blanket seemed to drop over Aaron's back. The drum faltered and then resumed its beat, but slower. "Thick as curdled milk," said the hoarse voice somewhere above Aaron. "Keep up the stroke there. There's no shoals for 20 miles. A horny, scarred foot appeared out of the fog, paused an instant close to Aaron's face, then with one step vanished. In the fog there was no sense of forward motion, only of swaying and the tug of the oars. The throb of the stroke drum was muffled. It was clammy cold. The mist condensing in Aaron's hair ran down into his eyes. He tried to catch the drops with his tongue and breathed the damp air with open mouth, trying to assuage his thirst. But his teeth chattered. The cold metal of a chain swung against his thigh and burnt like fire where it touched. The drum beat and beat and ceased. It was silent. "Keep the beat! What's amiss?" roared the hoarse, whistling voice from the prow. No answer came. The ship rolled a little on the quiet sea. Beyond the dim rails was nothing. Blank. Something grated against the ship's side. The noise was loud in that dead, weird silence and darkness. "We're aground," one of the prisoners whispered, but the silence closed in on his voice. The fog grew bright, as if a light were blooming in it. Aaron saw the heads of the men chained by him clearly, the tiny moisture drops shining in their hair. Again the ship swayed, and he strained as far up as his chains would let him, stretching his neck to see forward in the ship. The fog glowed over the deck like the moon behind thin clouds, cold and radiant. The oarsmen sat like carved statues. Crewmen stood in the waist of the ship, their eyes shining a little. Alone on the port side stood a man, and it was from him that the light came, from the face and hands and staff that burned like molten silver. At the feet of the radiant man, a dark shape was crouched. Aaron tried to speak and could not. Clothed in that majesty of light, the archmage came to him and knelt down on the deck. Aaron felt the touch of his hand and heard his voice. He felt the bonds on his wrists and body give way. All through the hold there was a rattling of chains, but no man moved. Only Aaron tried to stand, but he could not, being cramped with long immobility. The archmage's strong grip was on his arm, and with that help he crawled up out of the cargo hold and huddled on the deck. The archmage strode away from him, and the misty splendor glowed on the unmoving faces of the oarsmen. He halted by the man who had crouched down by the port rail I do not punish, said the hard, clear voice, cold as the cold mage light in the fog. But in the cause of justice, Egre, I take this much upon myself. I bid your voice be dumb until the day you find a word worth speaking. He came back to Arryn and helped him to get to his feet. Come on now, lad, he said, and with his help, Arryn managed to hobble forward and half scramble, half fall down into the boat that rocked there below the ship's side. Look far, her sail like a moth's wing in the fog. In the same silence and dead calm, the light died away, and the boat turned and slipped from the ship's side. Almost at once, the galley, the dim mast lantern, the immobile oarsman, the hulking black side were gone. Arryn thought he heard voices break out in cries, but the sound was thin and soon lost. A little longer and the fog began to thin and tatter, blowing by in the dark. They came out under the stars, and silent as a moth, Lookfar fled through the clear night over the sea. Sparrowhawk had covered Arryn with blankets and given him water. He sat with his hand on the boy's shoulder when Arryn fell suddenly to weeping. Sparrowhawk said nothing, but there was a gentleness, a steadiness in the touch of his hand. Comfort came slowly into Arryn. Warmth, the soft motion of the boat, heart's ease. He looked up at his companion. No unearthly radiance clung to the dark face. He could barely see him against the stars. The boat fled on, charm guided. Waves whispered as if in surprise along her sides. Who is the man with the collar? Lie still. A sea robber, Egre. He wears that collar to hide a scar where his throat was slit once. It seems his trade has sunk from piracy to slaving. But he took the bear's cub this time. There was a slight ring of satisfaction in the dry, quiet voice. How did you find me?
Wizardry. Bribery.